Morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all here at church at 10:30. My name's Tristan. Let's pray, and then we'll spend a bit of time reading through that psalm. Let's pray. Father God, thanks so much for the great joy that it is to belong to Jesus, and particularly the joy of reading your word together this morning. Thank you, Father, for that. Please, Father, help us to rejoice in who you are and in who Jesus is. Amen. Hey, do you remember choosing teams at school? Do you remember when the teacher would pick two team captains and then the two team captains would have to take turns choosing players to be on their team? Works really well when you're with your class in PE because, of course, the team captains choose the most athletic kids first. They choose the biggest, the strongest, the fastest. They choose the kids who play all the sports on the weekend. And so you end up with two kind of pretty even teams. Although sometimes it's just the popular kids that get chosen first. That happens. Waiting to be chosen, though, if you're not the team captain, waiting to be chosen can be a bit nerve-wracking. Because you don't want to be picked last. I was never picked first, so I was never sure where I was going to come in the order. You don't want to be the last. You don't want to be the least wanted person in your whole class, right? You don't want that. When I was at school, at least, it always followed a pretty predictable pattern. You sort of knew who was going to be first. You knew who was going to be picked last. It was always a bit rubbish for the people who were picked last. Although, on the odd occasion, you would have a team captain who was chosen who would completely ruin the system, buck the trend, because they didn't choose the fittest, they didn't choose the fastest, they didn't choose the most athletic people first, they just chose their friends. And so people who were nearly always chosen last had a real shot at being chosen first, much to their joy and everyone else's groaning. This psalm is about the particular joy of being chosen. It's about the joy of being chosen. Not because we're the best, not because we deserve to be chosen, not because we're worthy of being chosen, but it's about the joy of being chosen still by God to be his people. And we've read through a few of these psalms, these songs of Old Testament Israel. They've been helping us appreciate the joy of belonging to Jesus. This is our last one for a while, because next week we're going to start our Term 3 series in Chronicles. But here in Psalm 33, Israel celebrate the joy of being the chosen people of God. As we read through their celebration song, it's going to help us see how blessed we are here this morning at church at 10:30 to be chosen by God through his son Jesus. Now this psalm falls pretty neatly into two halves. The first half is all about the God who chooses. And then the second half is all about the joyful experience of being the people that God has chosen. So let's have a look at Israel's celebration song. It kicks off with an explosion of joy. Verse 1, have a look. It says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It's fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully. Shout for joy." It's fitting to praise the Lord. It's normal. It's what you would expect for God's people to praise the Lord. It's like the Prime Minister wearing a tie, right? It's just normal. It'd be a bit odd if you saw him and he wasn't wearing one. It would be strange for Israel not to sing joyfully to the Lord. It's natural. It's normal for God's people to be so full of joy that they keep making up new songs to express how joyful they are. They're overflowing with this exuberant joy because the God who has chosen them is a perfect God. He's faultless in everything he does. He never lets them down. He never makes mistakes. His words are right and they're true. Have a look at verse 4. "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He's faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." See why Israel are so full of this deep sort of freeing joy? Because God's love for them is unfailing. His love for them is so perfect that it's astronomic. It fills the whole earth. And his perfection is matched even by his power, because God is so powerful that his words create worlds. God spoke and a trillion galaxies full of stars and planets exploded into existence. Look at verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts, and by the breath of their starry host, by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The God who chose Israel, he's so powerful. All the pounding oceans, all the unstoppable tides, and all the devastating tsunamis in the world, God can hold it all in his hand like you might rinse out an empty Vegemite jar. That's how extraordinary God is. That's how powerful he is. He made the world and he rules the world. He rules over history. People have their agendas, nations make their plans, but it all stands aside for God's unfolding eternal purpose. Verse 10. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. History, this psalm says, history runs according to God's pleasure and will. It's an incredible picture of God, isn't it? The power and the perfection of God. And it's all leading us to the heart of this psalm, because Israel's joy, all of their celebration, is grounded in what comes next in verse 12. Have a look at verse 12. It's a really important verse for this psalm. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Blessed is the nation. This is that key word, blessed, that key word in the Psalms. The word that captures the source of Israel's joy. Blessed, happy, joyful is the nation who belongs to this God. God who can hold all the earth's oceans in a jar in his hands. Blessed are you if you belong to this God. Blessed is the nation who belongs to God, who can then fill all the world's oceans with his unfailing love. Blessed are the people that this God has chosen to be his. Are you getting a feel for why Israel is so full of joy? Are you getting a feel for why Israel is singing this celebration song? This God, God who created it all, God who spun the universe into existence, God who now maps out all of history. Blessed is the nation who this God has chosen. Because to be clear, verse 12, this is not talking about just any nation. It's not talking about Australia. This is very specifically talking about the Old Testament nation of Israel. God chose them. He chose them to be his. And so Israel are at the heart of the Old Testament story. Let me jump on this moment to recommend that you come along to Sunday Extra when it starts in two Sundays' time. Kent mentioned it earlier. All the details are in the Church at 10:30 news email. At Sunday Extra, we're going to be doing this overview of the Old Testament. If you come along, you will see how at the heart of God's plans, at the heart of God's purposes, for all of the world and all of history, through the Old Testament, it's his people Israel. He promised to bless them. He promised to use them to bless the world. And so they celebrate because he's going to save them. He's going to protect them. He's going to love them with his unfailing love. They have a special place of blessing in God's eternal plans. No wonder they sing and shout for joy in this psalm. This is the wonderful reality that they live with every day. Now, the second half of the psalm starts to show us what life is like for Israel, what life is like for the people God has chosen. It shows us particularly the joy of being the people God has chosen. And it starts with the fact that Israel are blessed, even though God knows exactly what they're like. God looks down, he sees his people, he sees what they do in public, he sees what they do in private, he sees their hearts, even the bad stuff. He still chose them. Have a look at verse 13. Verse 13, from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth, he who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. That verse at one level is, I reckon, a little bit scary. Like, the all-powerful, holy God looks down, the ruler of all creation, who can hold oceans in his hand. He looks and he sees into people's hearts, sees everything, considers everything people do, sees every single character flaw. But follow the logic of this psalm. God does see everything. He does look into the darkest corners of human hearts. He knows exactly how flawed each and every Israelite is, and yet he has chosen them. He's chosen them to be his. He has chosen to love them. The blessing that Israel enjoys does not depend on them being special, good enough to deserve God's blessing. They aren't chosen because they're impressive. He knows what they're like. They are blessed because he chose them. What a great reassurance that would be for Israel. You can see why they'd be so joyful about this. They're not blessed because they've got the biggest army. It's not because they're big or strong or clever. Have a look at verse 16. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. As I was reading this psalm this week, this was the point where I realized that all three of the psalms that we've read over these school holidays have mentioned horses. That was not intentional. When I was a kid, our next door neighbours had a horse, and when I was quite small, my parents thought that myself and my siblings might want to ride this horse, and so they put my brother on the horse, and then he fell off and cried. And then my parents thought it'd be a good idea to get me to ride the horse, and if my memory serves me correctly, I cried so that they wouldn't make me go on the horse. That is my life's experience with horses. Please believe me when I say it wasn't intentional that this series became horse-themed. It's just that Israel knows that they're not saved by their horses. They're not saved by their cavalry. They're not saved by their fierce warriors. Their safety and their security, it comes from being the chosen people of God. So they don't put their hope in horses. They confidently put their hope in the unfailing love of the Lord. Look at verse 20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. The reason for their celebration song, the reason for all of their exuberant joy in this psalm, the reason for their confidence, even when their nation is under threat from all the nations around them, their reason for joy is this reassuring comfort that God's love is unfailing and he has chosen to love them and he has chosen them to be his. So that's their psalm. That's their celebration song. The joy of being God's chosen people. What might this song sound like if it were remixed for people like us? Because we're not Old Testament Israel. We're not in their shoes. What might this song sound like for you and I as followers of Jesus in 2026 on this side of the cross? Well, I think it might sound a lot like Ephesians chapter 1. Because according to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, when we belong to Jesus, we enjoy incredible blessing from God. Blessing that overflows into praise to God our Father. And joy. Joy, Paul says, that comes from being chosen. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 1. I've popped it up on the screen for you so you can see it easily. Just like Psalm 33, Ephesians starts with an explosion of joyful praise. Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." In Christ, Paul says, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Grace and mercy, redemption, forgiveness of sins, and inclusion and hope and salvation and God's Spirit and unity and love and peace and transformed lives. Those are just some of the blessings that Paul goes on to talk about in Ephesians. And we have those blessings because, verse 4, we're chosen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Before the creation of the world, before we had a chance to do anything right or anything wrong, God chose us. He freely chose to love us. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In love, God predestined us. That just means that he chose us to belong to him, to be part of his family. Chose to save us through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus. How good is that? Look, I realize the idea of being chosen might throw up all sorts of questions for you. Love to chat about that over morning tea. But the clear purpose of Psalm 33 and Ephesians 1 is to help us see the joy of being chosen. And there is enormous joy in being chosen. We don't belong to Jesus because we're the fittest and fastest. We don't belong to Jesus because we've got a big army with lots of horses. And it's not our bank accounts or our popularity or our good looks or how many different ways we serve at church. We're blessed because we're chosen by God, by his grace and mercy. In Ephesians will go on to say that, in fact, even when we were hopeless and helpless and dead in our sin, God delivered us from death through Jesus. There's lots of ways, I think, that we can live out the joy of being chosen in Christ. Let me mention just two. First, I think we can just, I guess, bask in the reassurance of being chosen. God looks down and he sees our hearts. He looks at us and he sees everything. He knows everything we do, everything we think. He still chose us in Christ. Which means God will never say to you, he will never say, "Hey, look, I chose you, but that was before I discovered that really terrible thing you did. Those awful things that you were thinking. You know that stuff that was going through your mind in July 2026? Yeah, well, after I saw that, I don't know if I can love you anymore." God will never say that. Because God knew what you would be doing and thinking today before the creation of the world. He knows. He sees everything, past, present, and future. But he has chosen us. And so the forgiveness that we have in Christ is permanent. How good is that? Secondly, Israel, they confidently put their hope in the Lord. That was their response to being chosen. We can confidently put our hope in Jesus. We can live fully, wholeheartedly, all in for Jesus, obeying him. That is not always the easiest path, but Jesus' love will never let us down. And so we can go all in on inviting people to know Jesus. God is the God of history. He's working out his plans and purposes. He loves to save people into his kingdom. That's the God we belong to. We can wholeheartedly, confidently live for him. When we belong to Jesus, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every good thing that God has to offer us in eternity is ours in Christ. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. That's us, because of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for saving us through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the blessing, the joy, the comfort, the reassurance that it is to be your chosen and forgiven people. Amen.